You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Today I want to start local. I just had a chat with a bloke in London about the first 100 days of Trump. And it has to be said that he made a lot of sense, and I just became infuriated by the fact that he wouldn't take my bait on Trump and his personality disorder. So I got really frothy, and I looked stupid and he looked clever. So I'm feeling a bit feeling a bit local at the moment.
So you decided to give me a ring and just get you back on basis, huh?
Yeah, that sort of thing. You can ground me and we can talk about things. And at the end, we'll say something about Trump. But no, seriously, a lot of stuff going on the JSE. For those people that look at their screen and see Aspen down 30%, what does that mean? What are the technicalities?
I want to have a look at this because you're actually catching me on this one.
No, come on now.
Let me have a look. I caught myself
because I just suddenly looked at this thing on the Aspen, 112.79, down 30.2%. Has there been something?
You're gonna have to make me look because I must say I'm gonna be honest with you. I've had to watch a trading screen today.
That's a good excuse, nor have I. Yeah, because I've been doing. Stuff.
I looked at the main ones. Was quite a good trading update. Well, let's call it year end results from. But let's quickly have a look. I mean,
I looked through Sen's announcements. There's no sense either.
So I'm gonna, you know, while we chat, I'm gonna be surfing and see what I can, you know, find. Because,
well, while you're doing that, I'll set the general scene. So you plow through the internet or phone a friend or something like that. But on the downside, of course, apart from that Aspen story, Anglo American Platinum, a big loser, around about 13% weaker. Pan African Resources down 10, Harmony down nearly 10. And so Goldfields as well. And it's all to do with the gold price coming down, with the stock market going up for a couple of days in a row in the United States of America, and the gold price having been 3,500 plus, now just below 3,300. Had to happen. Swings will get bigger, but the core major bull market is still intact. But just get used to lots of really vicious swings at the top, Skalk. I think that's the message to any gold holder.
No, for sure, sure. I mean, this is that I've luckily seen, or unluckily. Yeah. But you need to take the good with the bad. I mean, you can't just take all the good news for the gold. I mean, gold. Wow. I mean, and that was just a mighty, mighty run that we've seen, and then suddenly Trump just goes all soft. I mean,
he's caved in again, hasn't he? He's caved.
Yeah. So it did. So he said he'll definitely be listening to Xi Jinping. They will have a conversation, and if they are willing to negotiate, they will be willing to talk and willing to reduce the tariffs, blah blah blah, and there goes the gold price, and there goes the equity market.
The point about this, Skalk, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to get it out here. Nobody's heard anything from China. It's all Trump saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Market goes down, market goes shooting up for 2 days. Impressive moves to the upside. I don't see any China spokesperson saying yes, we've had a good chat and we are making progress. Have you seen anything? Because I certainly haven't.
No. That's not. But I mean, I think he's been. I mean, as much as he said, he's not really caring about the market. What did he say? You know, sometimes you need to take a little bit of medicine, and you know, over the longer haul, it will be good for.
Well, if you're a 401k person and you've just had a look at it in the United States of America, and you're a billionaire, yeah, some people can take a little bit of pain in the short term if they've got lots and lots of money. But what about people that can't take that pain? It's an incredibly insensitive way of putting out why the stock market has gone down, which I still think he's manipulating to his own advantage. I said I wasn't going to talk about that till the end, didn't I? Now you've got me going again.
So yeah, I've got the Aspen here in front of me.
Yeah.
And it looks like
profit warning. Like, it's the real deal.
No, well, it is. It is a profit. It's an actual. But it came out very sneaky, very very sneaky. So this sense announcement actually came out on the dot, 5 o'clock yesterday. So usually when a company does that, I mean, you know, it is going to be bad. I mean, they brought it literally on the dot. 5 o'clock yesterday, they released the sense and amounts of basically stating that the manufacturing site, and they're talking about a material contractual dispute,
yes,
which could be, you know, possible fines, but they're talking about the EBITDA being a possible 2 billion rand lower. That is crazy.
2.77 billion lost due to a contractual dispute, Skull Glow.
That's it.
Extraordinary.
That's it. That's basically another impairment of 770 million as well. So in total, yeah, you're right. Just over 2.7 billion. But I mean, that is crazy. And
I thought it was some financial engineering or something with the shares, etc. So I didn't take much notice of it. But of course, you have to take notice of these things. I must say that this is a widely held stock. This will be painful.
No, this is, and I mean, it's a company. You know, I've been reporting on the company, and felt like recently they let's go to the feedback, trading updates, even the results started to look good. I mean, and they've got what is that product that they've got, that weight? That's actually not people might jump on me and say it's not a weight loss product. What is that?
I don't know.
I'll tell you now. I'll tell you now what the name of the product is. I just can't get it. Oh man! But anyway, it's some wonder drug that they now got the rights to distribute in Africa, in South Africa, and it really helped Aspen. I mean, the most recent results or trading update that we've seen, as I can recall, which was about two months ago, it actually looked that they're getting themselves back on the right path again, you know, after serious trouble, high debt levels, and man, oh man, 2.7 billion rand, you know, if that happens.
That's a lot of money being destroyed, a lot of wealth being destroyed, and I wonder how long it took the share to go from where it is now up to wherever it started or finished yesterday, 30%. I bet it took a lot longer than one day, Skulk.
Yeah, no, definitely. And just I did go and look because I just couldn't remember the it's that that drug called Mounjaro. Mounjaro, which is a weight loss. It's just one of the products that Eli Lilly actually are well known for, and they now got the rights to distribute this product in Southern Africa, and everybody was excited. I mean this is one of the main reasons. Just go, if you're interested to, you know, in the drug, just go and look at Eli Lilly's share price, historic share price over the last few years, and you'll see, you know, why there was quite a bit of excitement for Aspen. But man, yeah. Like I said, that's a big one. That's a very very big one.
It really is. And these weight loss drugs. Who's the company? Novo Nordisk, isn't it? Which was up until a few days ago the biggest company in Europe by market cap, and it was taken over by somebody, and I can't remember the one. But anyway, huge company. I just want to go back to the Aspen Pharmacare Lilly agreement. And this was the 30th of August, 2023. Lilly will enter a strategic agreement with Aspen to continue serving patients and bring innovative therapies, blah, blah, blah. And then they go on to mention some of the things. And I'm sure your one is there. So obviously they're very, very close to Eli Lilly. And that's not a bad company to be in bed with, I'd have to tell you. They are monstrously big. And they've done very well in their weight loss drug. Okay, so you've solved the problem, but I'm very surprised. I haven't seen 30% in a big company like that, or medium to big company like that for a long time.
That's massive. That is massive. That's the type of movement that could take a company. If they were in the top 40, could literally take them out of the top 40, and if they're still a mid cap, could suddenly take them to being a small cap. Not that I say that Aspen will be close to being a small cap, but no. That's the type. I mean, if you lose a third of your value in 24 hours, that is massive. Yes. Really, really massive.
Okay, so we both missed that one, or I looked at it and I thought, nah, it's just, as I said, some kind of deal that's been done with shares or whatever. But no, not at all. Barlow World, Newco coming in with another offer or a higher offer, share price up 6%, and Capitec after some numbers, up 7%. That's also big to the upside. Doesn't stop this thing, does it?
No, it's just crazy. I mean, this is just a company that's going from strength to strength. Lindsay, this is phenomenal results. I mean, people will tell me, but you can't put enough emphasis. No, you can't. I mean, this is just a company that's. I mean, I've always mentioned every time you and I have this conversation on Capitec, and I tell you, and then you ask me, am I a shield? And then every time I tell you, oh man, it's one of those. ones that it's just always been expensive. It is the most expensive bank in the world when you look at let's call it price to book levels. I mean, really the most expensive bank, but for good reason. I mean, if you look at the company, I mean, the results came out. And just by the way, this company already guided. This is after the trading statement. Trading statement came out 31st of January. And they actually already mentioned there that their HEPS, their headline earnings per share, is going to be anything between 28% and 32% higher for this period.
So it was well flagged.
Yeah, so it's people are expecting this. Although, you know, when you look at the consensus still had it, you know, marginally lower. But be that as it may, came out today, 50% growth in their headline earnings per share. Dividends, that increased 34%, market expected 27%. But it's when you actually start drilling through this Capitec results, it's when you actually realize what phenomenal company this is. I mean, the initiatives that they brought up.
What is Capitec now? Excuse my ignorance here. It used to be a bank for lower income earners. It was a simple bank, and it did its simplicity very, very well indeed. It beat all the major high street banks. And I remember when I happened to be in Robertson one morning, just on the edge of the Klein Karoo, and it was a Saturday morning, and there were queues for the bank, like 8:30, with half an hour to go to opening. And queues and queues and queues. And it was, you know, farm workers that got paid in cash on Friday and they wanted to go and put some in their savings account or whatever it was and transact. And I thought, this is interesting. And this is my question to you, Scalp Low. Do banks like Capitec do well in both good and bad times? Because in bad times, it services people that haven't lost their job at Anglo American or something like that, but they continue to work on the farms, etc. I know it's a terribly patronizing generalization, but can they do well in bad times and also in the good times? And then they're not recession proof or depression proof, but they can do better than the big bloated other banks.
Yeah. No, I mean, Lindsay, I think this is not a company. I mean, it feels to me like a young bank, but I mean, it's now gone beyond being, you know, available to over two decades. It's not a fluke. This is not a company that one can say, oh man, they were lucky there and they were lucky there. You're asking the question. So this company basically started off as being a smaller bank, as you mentioned, providing these smaller cash loans. And they have actually grown into a, let's call it a low costing, a bank. I mean, nowadays, just look at this value added services and Capitec Connect that they currently got. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal what you look at this. I mean, the growth that they've seen in this part of the business, you can now buy a 1 or 7 or 30 day data and a voice bundle.
Yeah.
And it is crazy. I mean, you use the banking app. Now, I'm not banking with Capitec. I'm not promoting Capitec, and I just think it's ingenious. I mean, you've got this banking app, and most people in South Africa, they don't have contracts. They buy sort of pay as you go your data or your voice bundles. You use your banking app. It says, you know, what bundle do we want to buy? Let's say I'm going to buy R100 bundle. It says, look at your face for facial recognition. Bloop. You have now R100 loaded onto your cell phone. Done. Mm. Finish. I mean, how did they just go from being a small, pure bank? I mean, so that part of the business, just for interest's sake, I mean, that has grown, really has grown phenomenal. And for interest's sake, what I found interesting in results is they said that 80% of these, let's call it Capitec Connect sales, now occurs through the Capitec banking app. It shows you the success of this app already. So, I mean, yeah, I think I can really compliment that. And then the acquisitions, the constant acquisitions that they've been doing. This Avafin acquisition that they've done, the one that was last year in May. A company very similar to Capitec. They are a bank in Poland, Latvia, Chechnya, Spain, Mexico, those, and it's very similar. It's these high margin, high return lending, and already that bank has got an ROE exceeding 40%. So they're not just sitting and waiting for stuff or just organically growing. They're also growing acquisitional, and that they feel that they've got a very, very good recipe. And they're now going to be expanding this recipe to the rest of the world. Will that work? I mean, people with that Woolies and a few of these companies might argue that when you go beyond the borders of South Africa, it becomes a little bit more tricky. But thus far, it does seem like it's doing well, because this Avafin already contributed very close to 200 million rand to the group's headline earnings, already profitable and already looking solid. So yeah,
it's a great story. And I think there's a book that was recently released about the Capitec story, if I'm not mistaken. So well worth a read if you're into it. But I remember being startled by a friend of mine when I lived in Cape Town, who's a restaurateur. And he's got about 10 restaurants now, every single one different. It's not a chain. It's 10 different restaurants. It goes from everything to gourmet burgers to Michelin style wine farm restaurant, etc., across the board. And he's incredibly innovative. And he told me that he knew I was in the radio business at the time. And he said, I bank with Capitec. And this was 10 years ago. I said, why? Nobody banks with Capitec. And he said, you'd be surprised. They are so simple. It is so simple for me. I'm running 10 businesses. I don't need to worry about my banking. Capitec does everything for me. And it's just, I mean, he called himself an idiot. He said, an idiot like me, when it comes to money, can understand Capitec. I love them. And that's really when I started looking at that stock.
Yeah, no, it's. I was worried. Back in the days when let's call it the original founders started to step down, and they said, well, this is not time for me to go. And when Gerry Fourie stepped into the position, and I recall to add this question saying, well, what do you think? Do you think, well, it's going to be tough? I mean, the original Ariane Stassens and Michiel Roos and those people, this is big names. And boy, I mean, one can just absolutely applaud Gerry for his part that he's played in the company. I mean, really, really, doing phenomenal. Another question begs. I mean, will sort of the handover will will that be as successful as with Bithgari? I mean, only time will tell. One should just always realize, and this is sort of my, let's call it the, you need, like I said, you also need to take the sweet with the sour. This is a company or bank that is trading, as mentioned, one of the, well, the most expensive bank in the world.
But it's been expensive for years and years. I can remember when I used to punt a bit. I remember going short of this thing at 850, 900. Thinking it's coming down to 400. It's just too expensive. Yeah. There's a whole graveyard full of people that went short of Capitec over the last few years, let me tell you.
What do they call that investment? A stretcher.
Yes.
But yeah, no. I mean, yeah, it's going to be so well done. I mean, he's been CEO of the company since, what, 2014, 11 years. Can't believe it's been that long already. And yeah, I think he's done an unbelievable job. Personally, I think he'll be missed. There's still some time. I mean, we'll see what Graham Lee is gonna succeed him. We'll see what he does. But for now, I mean, we can just say well done and, yeah, enjoy the next ventures.
So very good. I hear this phrase quite a bit, but actually less and less these days, but this is a great South African success story, Skulk.
Yeah, no. You don't get much better than that. I mean, they always refer to the Buddha Buffett, which is Yanni Maton, and he started the whole PSG group. And I mean, one should just always remember that a big part, you know, of that success was Capitec. I mean, he was one of the people that actually were part of the funding of Capitec. They were one of the largest shareholders of Capitec until, I think, I always said a year or two or three ago, but I think it must be already about 5 years ago. One of the largest shareholders, and one of the reasons why PSG became one of the biggest holding companies ever. No, it's been a fantastic company. Like I said, I am so miffed that I missed this one, but yeah, the one that got away.
Well, don't forget, you can cry in your gold-plated cup of whatever is your tipple, because gold has, I'm sure, more than looked after you compared to what Capitec might have done. But never mind. Let's have a look at some prices now, Skulk. Dollar Rand, after the CPI inflation data today came out at 2.7%, better than expected. The Rand is nice and steady at 18.65 against the US dollar. The British pound against the Rand is 24.75. Euro Rand is 21.17. Euro dollar 113.50, barely changed. British pound nearly, actually, it's 132.70 against the dollar. Let's go to commodities now. The gold price in US dollars down 34 to 32.71, let's call it, dollars per ounce. A number of years ago, if I'd have said the gold price is 32.71, you would have said, what, in Rand? What is that amazing story? It still gives me a bit of a kick to watch that thing. Platinum is up 19 to 978, so you'll tell me why the platinum shares are doing so horribly. Palladium is up 7 to 944. Okay, other commodities. Where's my CRB index? There it is. Brent crude oil has been on the rise again recently. I'll refresh my screen. There we go. $65. It was up 1.8% 3 hours ago. It's now $65.90, down 2.3%. West Texas crude, $62.03 per barrel, down 2.6%. Natural gas prices had a shocker yesterday, down about 7%, but up 1% today. And so we go on. Not much else on there. S&P 500 futures. Yesterday, it was very interesting. I saw this chap on the CNN business program, Skulk, and he's a veteran trader on the New York Stock Exchange floor. And CNN go to him all the time. And he said, for the first time since Liberation Day, so-called, really hit the markets, Yesterday we saw buying coming in, but real buying, not program trading, not algos, nothing. He said the previous day when he mentioned the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, it was all program trading on the downside. And then suddenly real buyers came in. And that was telling to me. And of course, he's been proved absolutely right, because the S&P now up about 2.75% to 5,461. That's the futures market. US 10-year bond yield, 4.345%. That's been a story this year. South African 10-year, after that data on inflation, is 10.815. And what else we got? Bitcoin, I have to give that. Ooh, it's had a great day. 92,043. Have you got your ups and downs in front of you? I have. I just want you to read yours out first, please, Scout. On the JSE, that is.
So Downs, we've already talked about Aspen.
Yeah.
Amplats are thinking 13.3% down. I know that is a worry, but that is an ex-div story. The golds, however, not ex-div story. Pan African Resources down 10%. Harmony down 9.5%. Goldfields down 9.2%. Durban Roodepoort Deep 7.5%. And Anglo Gold down 7.3%. That's just gold, really, just, I mean, we had a wonderful day yesterday after the gold price, I think, moved 4 or 5%. And, yeah, today is just a bit of sanity prevails. So, yeah, that's gold on the downside. When we look at on the upside, get a Capitec. What a day for Capitec. We had to get a Prosus, Naspers, both of them up, 4.8% and 4.6%.
Yes.
Glencore.
That's a surprise, bucking the commodities trend, yeah.
Correct. 4.2% up, and Kumba Iron Ore up 3.7%. So yeah, I think a good day, like you mentioned, sort of a good for some of the commodities, but very bad for the gold.
Yes, right. The indices that you watch, please, Skalk. How did they finish the day?
JSE today, they really, really struggled to stay positive. At one stage, we're looking really good. But we had a bit of a retracement in the final hour of trading day today. So, yeah, market closes 89,847 points. That is down literally 7 basis points, so close to zero you can get. Resources down 4.9%. Naturally, one should take into consideration the Amplats, but that was mostly gold. But, from an industrial point of view, looking very good, 1.3% positive, and financials also up 1.6% with a little help from Capitec. And, finally, the SA Property Index, that was down 35 basis points. We look at the value traded, not a bad day, not a good day, but very much in line with what we've seen over the past, five trading days, just shy of 24 billion. Traded through the market today.
You become spoilt with those 30, 35 billion days, of course. But anyway, let's finish with Trump. Why does he do it, Skull? Please, someone tell me. There should be a convention, a Trump psycho convention in Las Vegas or something, where the most preeminent brains in the psychiatric and psychology world get together and analyze this and debate it. Why does he say one day in a fit of pique on Truth Social that this man, Jay Powell, is a major loser? He's always late. He should cut rates now. And the termination of his contract can't come soon enough. And then last night he stands and says, no, I've got no intention of sacking Powell. None whatsoever. And everyone thinks, hello, what, did I miss something? Did I dream it? And and then he says 145% China tariffs are way too high. We're not going to tariff them that amount of money. Of course not. We're going to come to a deal. We're going to be very nice to each other. And there'll be a tariff, but it won't be anything like that. I think, why did you say it in the first place then? I mean, this is not the art of the deal anymore. The art of the deal would say, I'm going in and I'm going to demand X percent. But I'll come down to X minus a half of that. Yeah, it's not the art of the deal anymore. That book's finished. I'm sorry. It's been proved to be wrong, in my opinion, because he's got all his deals. Most of his deals have been incorrect. He's bankrupted companies and so on. Again, there's a graveyard of companies that went bankrupt under the stewardship of the Trump organization. But why say it? Bite your tongue, count to 10, and don't say it. Because it's bad for your investors, Skulk. Let me put it that way.
I really don't. I mean, the one moment he is just absolute, you know, he just goes all guns blazing, and the next thing it's just, no, we're going to be fine. His words were actually, we're going to be very nice.
Yeah.
And they're going to be very nice. And we'll see what happens. It is just, I mean, how?
It's complete madness. It's so unnecessary. And as I say, I mean, I get annoyed personally. But for people that are invested in the market, they must, and it's important to them. I mean, how do you sit down on a Monday morning and phone somebody up and say, great day on Friday, up 2.8% on the S&P, and a chap says, oh, great, how's it looking now? Oh, it's down 2.9%, so sorry about that. This is what Trump does, and it's very, very naughty of him.
So I got myself a book, and I haven't started reading it yet. Maybe you have. But we had a commentator. I had a commentator last week, earlier this week. No, I think, yeah, it was earlier this week.
Yeah.
But the commentator on Bloomberg mentioned and says, well, come on, guys. I mean, exactly what you just said. Don't sound so surprised. I mean, Trump has made it quite clear that his favorite book of all times is that book, The Art of War, you know, written by Sun Tzu.
Yes.
And if you read that book, that's Art of War, which I don't know how many years, I mean, this is one of the oldest books.
Is it Japanese or Chinese author, or am I wrong on both fronts?
No, Sun Tzu is a. That sounds Japanese, but I mean, I might be crucified here for
okay, well, there. Let's not get into that. But anyway, have you started reading it?
It's Chinese. No, I haven't. It's actually laying in front of me, so you actually just made me think about it.
I've got a lot of books that lay in front of me and then they go on a dusty shelf.
it's Chinese, yeah. So they said if you read this book, everything will make sense. I mean, you go out all guns blazing, and then you sort of retrace again. I don't know if our markets are going to be ready for this type of, you know, art of war approach. I don't know. No. I mean, I don't know. I think the first phase of the tariff announcements has shown us how volatile things can get, and not just in the equity markets, but in bond markets. I don't know if the markets can, we've had the IMF announcements or adjustments, outlook adjustments that came out today, and it's already been downgraded. I don't know if we can be downgraded any further now. I'm going to say we. I'm talking about the whole world.
Yes.
You mentioned the word the big D, you know, depression.
Yes.
I don't think we're ready for somebody that's going to come out this hard. I think this is the environment where people need to. Just come over sane, sit together, and say, "Let's see how we're gonna approach this."
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
We'll see.
No. Anyway,
hell no,
Skunk,
hell no.
Skunk, thank you very much for your insight. Don't worry too much about it. Next week, you've got 2 days off. You've got Monday and Thursday off, so you can take stock, take some time to reflect on those 2 days, on Workers' Day and on Freedom Day. Skunk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.